There are many worlds in the multiverse. Some, like Kyrian, are islands alone, uninvolved with the greater struggles of the planes. Some places, like Sigil, are awash with the conflicts that rage across them from upper to lower. Wars between angels and fiends, or demons and devils, playing out in the streets. Others, like Tal'Dorei or Faerûn, are worlds of adventure and magic, where the darkest deeds and the greatest heroism lie side by side. But all have the same thing in common. They are worlds of adventure and daring. Join us now as we experience the strife and danger of the multiverse in D&D 5th edition.
Hello, and welcome to episode 2 of Dungeons & Dragons, Baldur's Gate Descent into Avernus. I am Bladeen, and I am your DM for this evening, but what DM could truly DM without some players to DM? So who am I DMing today? Well, let's see, going in the order that I have them along the top of the Zoom screen, Il Porcupino.
Hi, I'm Il Porcupino, and I am playing Adelaide Crane, otherwise known as Ladle, the rogue herbalist halfling.
And we also have Mordrigan.
Hello, I'm Mordrigan, and I'm playing Guariel, the deposed king of Dark Hollow. I'm also Ladle's bodyguard.
Woo-hoo. And we also have Loka.
I'm Loka Centaurus, and I will be playing Amberhide, the Tabaxi monk.
And we also have an archive.
Archive? Do we have an archive? Oh, she's gone to mute there.
Okay.
Do Hardwick, and we'll come back to her.
Yes, and we have Hardwick.
Hello, I'm Hardwick, and I'm playing Salik, who is a barbarian owlin.
Okay. And we possibly also have an archive?
Hello, I'm Archive, and I'm playing Miri Brightwoods, who is something.
Half-elf cleric, if I recall correctly?
That's the one.
Yeah, that is the one. So, would someone like to recap what happened last time?
I mean, I've got a load of notes. So, it boils down to Captain Zodge decided that we were his new team of ne'er-do-wells, and basically, given that the nearest city to Baldur's Gate has just up and vanished...
Yes, Alderel, it's gone, apparently.
And Flaming Fist Alder Ravenguard, who was Zodgy's boss, was there when it disappeared.
Yep.
And I believe a bunch of paladins called the Hellriders are involved in some manner.
They're worried that they're going to cause some problems as they've showed up with the refugees, which is why the gates to Baldur's Gate are currently shut.
Which is causing panic amongst the populace and general bad feeling. So he decided to strong-arm a bunch of people into doing his bidding.
Yes. Yes, he did.
Now his method of doing this was like saying, will you do this job, or will we arrest you and cut your head off? So, strangely enough, we mostly decided to join. It was a bit difficult for Guariel, who has to be bound to somebody, so he had to persuade one of the others to take him on as a bodyguard. Luckily, Ladle did, because otherwise he would have had to have said no. And then he said, oh, there's some Bane and Baal and probably Nurgle cultists wandering around the city committing murder sprees. So
Nurgle is another continuity.
In this one, he's called Merkel.
Merkel, yes.
Oh, well.
It's the Dead Three, as they are commonly referred to.
Either way, they're evil. We're to find and kill these cultists, and nobody cares about any collateral damage. Which is fine. So he gave us the name of his contact, which is Tarina at the Elf Song Tavern. We promptly went to the Elf Song Tavern.
We had
some drinks in the Elf Song Tavern. And then we went upstairs and watched somebody we later found out was Tarina fleece a bunch of people.
There is one detail which you have missed.
Mm-hmm.
payment, because this isn't just a strong arm job, is 200 gold, 75 upfront.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes. We did get paid.
Yeah, you got a 75 quid advance. You did do a little shopping as well.
Yes,
we did. We did.
And we had a lovely meal together.
Yeah. Well, me and you did.
Yes. Layla and Guariel had a meal as part of the official signing of the bodyguard process. Contract. Yeah. Yes.
Basically, it's how... Oh, God damn it. It's how she hires me on, as it were. But yeah, we basically watched this woman fleecing these people right up until there was a lull, at which point we introduced ourselves and said, Zodj wants you to give us information on these cultists. And she went, that's fine, but I want a favour. And that's where we left it.
Yes, indeed it is. So, yes, there is now a cat on my shoulder.
Aw.
Yes.
I can't see, but I approve.
Yes. But yes, so Tarina gestures for you to sit down at the now empty table.
Well, I don't. I just move to stand behind wherever Ladle sits down.
Fair enough.
While looking menacing.
Yeah, I'll happily sit down.
At a suitable distance to avoid the
bobbing. Yeah, same.
Okay. She's...
Right. So, it's fairly simple. I have some old associates who, for various reasons, don't like me very much. And apparently, some of them have managed to figure out that I'm in Baldur's Gate. And apparently, they are planning on paying me a little visit. Now, I could try and deal with them myself, but it's a pain. So, simple enough. You stay here with me until they show up. You help me get rid of them. I will then tell you what it is you want to know. Does this sound a reasonable agreement?
Can I do a see if she's lying check? Honesty check.
Yeah.
Insight is what you're after.
Insight, yeah. Insight's generally the one you're going for on that.
Okay. Not a one this time. Oh, no. It can be a one. I can re-roll those.
Yeah.
Yes, because you're a specific type of halfling.
That's a six. I got a six.
Okay. That sounds entirely plausible.
Yeah.
People are probably just very unreasonable and probably jealous of how darn good she is at gambling.
Yeah, definitely.
I can't remember. Is D&D the one where only one person in the team can try and do that?
No, you can individually. If anyone who wants to make an insight check, can, you know, feel free to say you want to make an insight check.
I would like to make an insight check.
Go ahead.
The dice, they say 16.
She's pretty much telling you the truth here. You're pretty sure that she knows damn well why they're after her, and they're probably quite justified in being after her. But there are definitely people coming here to kill her, and she figures she'd like some help if they show up.
Okay.
Amberhide just looks sort of satisfied, and looks to the others for what their sort of judgment is going to be.
Oh, that sounds very reasonable to me. We scratch your back, you scratch ours.
Exactly.
Do we know when we're expecting them?
No. Sometime in the near future. Probably sometime later today, I think. There's only so much the Thieves Guild can figure out on their own.
In which case, I think we might be wanting to set an upper limit, as Zodj has placed a certain amount of time pressure upon us.
Oh, no, fair, don't worry. Look, if they don't show up within the next 24 hours, I'll put it in a sealed letter and give it to Zodj, or something like that. But I'm pretty sure they're going to be here imminently. I imagine he did the whole, well, you'll come and do this for me and I'll pay you or I'll kill you thing.
Yes,
yes. He's not a very subtle man.
As subtle as a battle axe.
Well, that's how they like them in the Flaming Fist. I can't argue with the results. They managed to keep the city in one piece. That's hard enough to do.
Amberhide has just pulled out a book and started reading.
Anyway, get comfortable. Have a drink.
Do you fancy a hand of cards?
Ah, okay. That sounds promising. She cracks her knuckles.
That earns you an arched eyebrow look from Amberhide. Just because we've watched her rinse an entire table's worth of people.
Yes, I know exactly how game. She rinces.
That was a dice game. This is a card dice. Game.
Oh, okay.
Well, it was a dice game, Baldur's Bones.
My bad.
It's okay. But yeah, card games are also a thing in Faerun. I have no idea what. As far as I'm aware, they haven't tried to do a Gwent on this yet.
No. That's what they're playing?
Some version of Crippled Mr. Onion, you know.
I'm pretty sure that was a dice game, because that was all the trouble there was you've got to make sure you know your difference between your ones and your sixes.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise you end up like Edward the Heath's ancestor.
Yeah. And do something that's not like too obviously like massively gambling, like some kind of version of Rummy or something, and just get the ball rolling on the on the cards. And I will be watching her very closely and possibly tailoring my hand.
Okay. Anyone else joining in on the cards, or anyone else just want to do anything else? Go around the tavern at all? Or
I can't remember. Did we get a map?
We did.
Yes.
In the previous... I don't know if this is a persistent chat.
It doesn't look to be. Bear with me a second. I will find the...
There was only one set of stairs up to here.
Yes, there was indeed. Bear with me. I've got the link now. Let me just throw that into the chat.
That we saw.
That we saw, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible there'd be an... Okay, that's...
There we go.
And I suppose they could come in through windows and shit like that. But
yeah.
We are on the first floor, though, so that's a little harder.
It's a little harder, but not impossible. It depends on how much they want to debt. What?
Important point. Feeling like being
some of these side rooms are bedrooms. One even seems to be a suite of some sort. It's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Those doors are listed as locked, but there's no telling who's been lying in wait for things to die down.
Yeah, because you're currently in E7, which is the upstairs dining room, which is where the gaming was happening.
Is that the one at the bottom of the map?
That's the one in the middle. Oh, they're not.
The one in the middle.
I can give you the DM one, because it doesn't actually give any detail. It just... like numbers things.
It doesn't really matter as long as we know which room is which. So we're in the big middle room with the two tables.
Yeah, on the right hand side, which is the upstairs. Yeah.
Okay.
The big one. There's like a sofa. Couple of sofas.
In that case, Guariel would like to put himself. You see where the stairs come up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are they banisters or is that a wall?
That would be a banister, I think.
Okay. In which case, you know, at the base of the stairs, you know where it's like the deepest, just from that side table with the settee?
Yeah, I see the one, at the bottom.
He's going to post up there, because people coming up the stairs are unlikely to spot him, and it's still close enough to run in and, stab them.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Which of the two tables are we at? Near side or far side from the stairs?
Probably the near side one. Okay.
Amberhide will probably stick to the stairs side of that table, just with his quarter staff next to him. Yes, I did get a quarter staff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sure.
Mary will probably join in the card game in a very much... not paying that much attention, not playing to win, and not remotely fussed, but having fun, sort of way.
Yeah. You're not actually. No one's actually putting any stakes on this. It seems Serena has decided that trying to any kind of way financially endanger the people she might be about to rely on to get to help her not be killed is probably not a good idea.
This is just for fun. And
yes. We're just playing for fun, like Rummy or yes. something. So just joining in a friendly and happy to lose.
Okay. Hardwick, what's Salik up to?
Probably in a position on the uppermost sofa, so the opposite side to
where Guariel is.
Yes.
Okay. So that makes sense. So you got the first in the table and then looks on the sofas. Okay. So a little time passes.
I'm sleight of handing like hell in this game.
Okay. Just for grins and giggles, do you want to give me a sleight of hand roll, please?
I rolled a 19 and I have a plus 6. So,
25.
Okay.
25. You actually do win some rounds, and Tarina looks impressed. She's like, and then sort of a little while later, there's this sound and it starts very quiet and then it just starts to build, rising, almost like a mist, and you realize that it's someone singing in Elvish.
This will be and the elf song.
Yes, it's the elf song. Now, do any of you speak Elvish?
Yes.
Okay.
Is that Sylvan?
No.
No. So, these are the words that you understand. Oh, sing a song of Elturel, of water, woods, and hill. The sun dawns on her ruddy cliffs and fields green and still. This land of long-abiding joy, home of the strong and brave, renowned by all across the realms, and never once a slave. Oh, sing a song of El Terrell, when foes are at her door, her fields torn by cloven feet from some infernal shore. Arise, the mighty Hellriders, take up your swift, keen swords, then charge into the hellish fray and scatter devil's hordes. Oh, sing a song of El Terrell, and when the night does fall, sleep safe beneath companion's light until the dawn does call. We're bound by mortal covenant that only ends with death, and so we'll sing of El Terrell until our final breath. Now, when that finishes, you'll notice that Tarina is sort of frowning, looking a little confused. That's not what she normally sings. That's something different.
Oh, it sounded lovely to me.
I mean, yeah, nice and all, but it's not... Normally she's singing about...
I'm not sure the words were that lovely.
Well, I mean, you know, I suppose you... But normally she's singing about some long-lost lover or something? But this wasn't about that. I mean, I don't speak a lot of Elvish, but I'm pretty sure that was about El Terrell.
Oh, it was.
Ah, okay.
El Terrell.
That's weird. Yeah, the city... Well, it was a city. I mean,
the one supposedly that's currently missing.
Apparently, yes. Yeah. Yeah, I heard about that. That's why everyone's freaking out and why the gates are shut.
Was there anything useful in their song, Miri? You seem to understand it, judging by what you were saying.
For anyone who could speak, who understood the Elvish, can you make me a history roll, please?
Sure, because that went too fast for me to actually get anything from it.
It's all right, we've got a recording.
Okay, that is a 14.
A 14. It mentioned the Hellriders, who were those El Terrell-based paladins that Zodge was worried about kicking up problem. And so... Also, the companion. It mentioned the beneath companion's light. Now, the companion is this artificial sun that hung over El Terrell. It showed up about 70 odd years back or something, when El Terrell had been taken over by a vampire lord, and some priest or something managed to summon up this divine light that drove out the vampire and his undead hordes. And it's stayed over El Terrell ever since. Of course, no one seems to have said anything about what happened with that now, since El Terrell has supposedly vanished.
Hmm. Water on the book.
Anyway.
Mary will relay this.
Do you?
Oh, well, maybe she's changed her track list to be more topical to the current events.
Well, I suppose, but she's never done that before. I mean, you know, I've not been here the longest of anyone. I mean, you'd probably want to talk to Alan, the barman owner. But yeah, as far as I'm aware, she's only ever sung the one song. So why she's changed it now? That's weird.
Hmm.
Okay.
Is there anyone else up here? Or is it just us?
It's just you in that common area. There are the rooms off to the side, but they all have doors that are currently shut.
Ah, okay. I'm just wondering if anyone else is responding to it, but there's no one else up here. So
no one else up here. I mean, yeah, there were other patrons down on the ground floor, but
yeah, we could possibly pop downstairs and see how people are responding to it.
Yeah, if you want to.
If she goes downstairs,
talk to her.
What I was saying, I don't speak any kind of Elvish, so.
Mary does, though. Mary?
Mm-hmm.
You were about to say something.
Oh, well, she suggested we should go and talk to Alan, so maybe we should go and talk to Alan and we could also get more drinks.
Ah, yes, jolly good.
Okay, if Ladle's going downstairs, I'm definitely following.
Yeah, I'll make my way down the stairs then. There's nothing else happening up here, and this song seems to have thrown her quite a bit, so might be worth finding out more about it.
Yeah, so as you head down, there's definitely, it started some conversations. There are sort of the various tables, folks are sort of leaning in and having sort of very sort of furrowed brow, serious conversations. You're like, that's very strange. Very strange.
Rhubarb.
yes, and you do notice that at the bar, Alan does look very surprised and a bit startled. He's trying to sort of, you know, get his barman's reserve back. But he's still the very sort of, yeah, he looks unsettled.
Has anyone paid us any particular attention coming down the stairs at all?
No one's really noticed you. I mean, noise of sort of people on the stairs, people just realized, yeah, so these people who went up earlier. So, yeah, no one particularly seems to be paying much attention to you.
Okay.
They're busy in their own little business.
You about to say something, Archive?
Nope.
I'm glitching a bit, apparently, so I'll leave it.
Okie dokie.
Well, I'll pop over to the bar and say to the Alan.
Yeah, Alan is the bartender. Oh, hello, yes. Did you want another drink?
Yes, I would. Just a short, a whiskey or a brandy would be lovely.
Oh, right, yes, of course.
No, I pay very close attention to him as he pours it.
His hands are he's a little shaky on the hands.
Oh, dear. Are you okay, my dear? I tried to put on the little old lady act. It's not very convincing, but
I mean, it's just, decades, and she's never changed the song. Once, not once. And now she's singing about El Terrell with everything that's going on? Everything that happened? It's just, I don't know. If it's affecting, well, I mean, a ghost? I've never really known exactly what she is, but if it's affecting her, then it's something very strange is going on. Yeah, something definitely. Very strange.
Yes, for it to resonate with someone like her.
Exactly.
Does she usually respond to the things around her?
Well, no, that's just it. Like I said, she's never changed her song before, not once. It's always been about her long-lost love, and now she's singing about El Terrell? I mean, it's not even a specifically Elvish city.
No.
Not even like she's singing about Suldeneslar or something like that. It's very strange. Very strange.
Peculiar.
Well, anyway, I'm sure I'm sure it'll all settle itself down.
Yes, these things have a way of happening.
Yes, yes, exactly. Exactly.
While exactly. we're down here, Gwariel will use all of his massive perception to take a look around the lower tavern and see if there's anybody he would identify as. Ruff's probably looking to go upstairs and murder people. I have a minus one in perception, so...
Okay, make your roll.
18.
Okay.
After the minus. Yeah,
I mean, there's no one here you'd particularly identify as a murderous Ruff.
Okay.
I mean, some of the folks here are a little scruffy looking, but no one's like waving arms or anything. I mean, obviously folks have weapons, but they're all properly sheathed and away, and no one seems to be amping themselves up for anything. They mostly just seem to be drinking and discussing and just going, very strange.
Rhubarb.
I mean, you do pick out some of the other conversations happening on this sort of you do pick up one interesting little chestnut that someone who's talking about with what's going to be happening with the older Raven Guard out of the way and who might be the next replacement Grand Duke to join the council of ruling the Baldur's Gate. Apparently they're putting their money on Thalamura Vanthampur.
Sorry, can you spell that?
Okay, so her first name is Thalamra, and her surname is Vanthampur.
Okay.
She is quote unquote more vicious than a swarm of rats.
More vicious than a swarm of rats. Good to know.
Indeed.
And before he summons a swarm of rats to see whether or not it's true.
So, as you're making your way upstairs, the doors open. 8 motley-looking humans saunter into the tavern. The leader is a brawny man with a cloudy right eye, a cruel sneer, and a pirate's swagger. The others are an unsavory, rowdy bunch who act as if they own the place. "We're looking for an old friend of ours," says the dead-eyed man. He sniffs the air. "Goes by the name Tarina, or so I'm told. Loves to cheat at Baldur's Bones."
Gwariel will just put his hands very lightly on the backs of Ladle and Miri and just sort of edge them towards the stairs. On account of, if we make these people go up the stairs, we have a defensible position.
Okay, so you're very subtly trying to move away. I mean, he doesn't seem to have clocked you just yet. The dude is blind in one eye from the looks of it. So,
and I think we're all small, aren't we?
Tiny. I'm normal.
Half elves don't tend to be small. But,
we had big folk with us. We could have gotten away with it.
Yeah, so as he sort of swaggers over to the bar and leans on it, not looking at Alan, he's looking back at the room. "Now, I'd be willing to buy a tall glass of ale for anyone who might be able to tell me where Tarina might be."
Fuck.
You do notice some sort of... And you do notice that one guy on the table nearest to the bar goes away. "Actually, I wouldn't mind that glass of ale."
Fuck him.
Oh, would he now? Armin, pour this man a tall glass of ale. "And you, sir, be telling me where might I be finding Tarina?" "Well, he does the sort of points up. He's at the guy's one good eye turns towards the staircase.
Which we're probably halfway up, like.
Yeah. tell you what, did you guys all want to make, you three want to make me stealth roll?
Yes.
Just to see if you're just trying to fly casual upstairs.
Can I just point one thing out?
Oh, fuck, my headset's just gone.
So basically, there's a slight problem with this plan, which is I've got disadvantage on stealth at the moment because I'm wearing my big armor.
My headset's back. Okay, I'm sorry. I missed whatever you were just saying, but I can hear you now.
I've got disadvantage is what it boils down to because I'm wearing big armor, armor.
Of course. Okay.
So this could end very badly for me. Oh, it does.
Okay.
I've got disadvantage as well because scale mail.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
17.
Okay, yeah, you're fine, Ladle. You're absolutely fine.
8.
I'm
tight. Oh. Wow. What did you say you got, Mordrigan?
I got 8.
Okay, so you actually might not to be quite as clanky as Muriel. Muriel is clank, 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 jingle, 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 as you're quickly making her way up the stairs.
Having worn scale mail.
Miri is currently very focused on taking a quite full cup of glass of beer in her hand. And I'm assuming she probably got a drink for someone else as well while she was down there. And she really just wants to get the drinks upstairs and put them down somewhere safe before things kick off.
Boys, I think we be finding our old friend. You two, guard the door and make sure no one gets past. Rest of you, with me. And they start walking towards the stairs.
How loud has he been?
You could just about hear him talking. He wasn't shouting, but he was doing a very projecty theatre voicey.
Sorry.
No, please, go ahead.
How quickly can I get up the stairs?
You can get up very quickly. I mean, your speed is what, 25?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get up the stairs at a reasonable pace without having to try and run or anything.
I've scurried on up and gone incoming.
If Miri would be heading upstairs quickly, Guariel will also head upstairs quickly, taking up the rear. I have a speed of 30 foot. So
okay.
Miri.
Okay. Miri is also on 30 foot and is definitely focusing on speed over stealth.
Yep. We go up the stairs.
Okay.
Right.
So, yeah, luckily for you guys, these guys are not actually rushing. They're fucking cocky, is the thing. So you have enough time to get up there and get yourselves arrayed. How would you like to position yourselves for receiving your visitors?
I'd like to go back to where I was actually standing because I might drop something on their heads as they come up. There's a stool there, isn't there? In that corner, or a table?
I'm assuming it's like a little round table, like a little round bar table.
I walk up, I pick that up, I heft it a bit, and then I walk over to the stairs and hold it above my head, ready to go.
Amazing. Oh,
I think we're about to be attacked.
Probably oak.
Okay.
How big is the room? If I was to tip over a table and duck behind it?
Right. Hold on. Let me look at this. Because usually when they say these things, they tend to say each square is 5.
One square is 5 feet.
One square is 5 feet. So that means table is about 5 feet across. So if you put the table down, you could definitely get behind that as a barricade and get full cover.
It's 50.
But then I'd have to stand on a chair to reach over it. I'm only 3 feet tall.
Well, exactly. Yes, exactly.
It's 50 by 30 feet.
Yeah.
Amberhide is just going to position himself 15 feet off the top of the stairs with his quarterstaff ready.
Okay.
If they're 5 feet wide, they're big. I'm not going to be able to tip that over on my own. So, what I will probably do then is duck behind one of the sofas.
Okay.
That's up there.
Okay.
If I've got time, I'll pull it over slightly towards it. So I'm talking about the sofa that's...
The one on the north.
On the north side of the room. Yeah. The
north side. Okay.
But I'll kind of twist it around so I can get behind it comfortably.
That's the one our Owlin sat on at the moment, isn't it?
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, Salik, are you staying seated on the sofa? Are you helping Ladle move it? Or
I'll help her move it and then sit on whatever is like at the top. So if we tip it over and the back's like on the top, then I'll sit on the back.
Okay.
Fair enough. I'm just crouched behind it and arming myself.
Okay. So
Mary is probably going to get to the top of the stairs, dodge into one of the nearest bedrooms, check it's empty, put the glasses on the floor out of the way, and then come out again.
Right. Okay. So the nearest room, that would be E12. Let me just have a quick look. Those are locked.
Oh, damn it. Okay.
Yeah.
So the two in front of the stairs are locked.
Yes, they are. They are both locked.
Okay, in which case she will keep going and head towards the one on the left past the sofa. Who knows if she'll get there yet, but that's the next thing she's planning to do.
Right, so E11. Okay.
She doesn't know what's behind.
That is also locked. The door on that one is locked.
She just wants somewhere to put her glass down.
Well, I mean, there's the little
table. Are they clearly marked as bedrooms?
Hmm?
Are they clearly marked as bedrooms?
Well, I mean, they're not clearly marked.
Okay, it's just because
they are locked.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine. She'll just keep making her way around to the next room.
Okay. No, Winter, you can't go on the desk.
Which is the one right on the far side from the stairs.
So that is in fact a dining room.
Perfect.
It's currently empty. There's the on the wall is mounted a head of a displacer beast.
Well, in that case, she's going to go and put the glasses down in there and then stack out the dining room.
Okay, so as you get back out is when they are you, Gwaryl, are you letting them get to the top of the stairs?
I'm going to let two people go past me and then I'm going to drop the table on the remaining ones. Basically, I doubt I'm going to do any damage because this was an improvised weapon and therefore will be at disadvantage. But I'm hoping table on stairs makes stairs difficult to climb up. So I will attempt to drop it on the third man.
Okay. On the third man. Okay, so that is...
Oh, dear.
Right, so I need to get... I just need to get these.
I doubt it. The to hit roll is 8. I doubt I hit him, but I did
let
drop
me
a
just
table.
Check, but I'm pretty sure the armor class is not that low.
No.
You do not hit.
No, but now there's a table on the stairs that they've got to deal with.
What the? You have made some trifling friends, Tarina, if that is what we shall call you, Rhonda.
Rhonda.
Then is that name any realer? I doubt it. You'll pay for what you've done, stealing from us.
Then again,
so I guess at this point, roll initiative. Right, so initiative is...
Fuck.
Can I just check with my poison... Mm-hmm. It says that applying a poison takes an action, and once it's been applied, it dries after 1 minute. So it retains its potency for 1 minute. So how long is a round?
That's 10 rounds of combat. Each round of combat lasts you is supposedly lasts 6 seconds.
Okay, and can I apply it before we go into combat, or do I have to apply it during combat? Because it does say it takes an action to do it.
I mean, given that Miri had time to run in and... I mean, I would think, yes, you've had time to apply it. So,
okay. So
you, I would say you can go into this fight with it having just been prepped. So if the combat... So for the first 10 rounds of this combat, hopefully it won't last that long, you will have poison weapon.
I'm applying it to my needles for my blow dart.
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
And I can apply it to 3 of them.
Okay, yeah.
So for 3 rounds, I get poison on my first 3 darts.
Okay, fair enough.
Cool. Thank you. Yep. I just wanted to clarify before we went into combat. Be like, oh, my first round, I'm going to...
Absolutely fine. Okay, awesome. So...
Right. Initiative.
Right, so your initiative is D20 plus your dex modifier plus anything else you might have from any racial traits, feats, so on, so forth.
I am continuing my excellent roles by being on initiative 7.
Right, Mon okay.
10.
Right. 8.
Right. Oh, we're brilliant.
12.
We're level 1.
True.
Right, so.
You know, they sell Kit Kats in bars now. You can get
Do you mean in pubs?
No, I mean a bar of Kit Kats.
Well, like the Kit Kat Chunkies?
No, I mean a bar of Kit Kats.
Okay, I might have to look for that in Tesco's.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, I'm also a bit disappointed they don't sell them in bars.
True.
Yeah, that would be good. Like, right, so Miri is on 12. Does anyone have higher than 12?
No.
Okay, so... Right, so was anyone on 11?
No.
10? 9?
Salik's on 10.
Oh, Salik's on 10, right, okay.
So it's Ladle, aren't you?
Ladle, you're muted.
Sorry, yes, I'm on 10. I was eating my Kit Kat, that's why I muted myself.
And thank you for muting whilst eating.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, on 9 is the evil pirate captain, Yar. His name, by the way, is...
Oh, dear.
Lacard Deadeye Cadaverous.
Okay. Lacard?
Deadeye. That'd be his name. Yar.
Yar.
Really fighting not to go full pirate on this, but it's a battle I'm losing.
What was his last name?
Cadaverous?
Cadaverous. It's so, which is basically cadaverous, but with no O.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So
not quite Captain Sound or Zoot. I can't remember his fucking name now. Yeah. But 14 is the... And it's technically only one of them's up here at the moment because the other ones have just had a chair, a table dropped on them and they're having to deal with that.
I assaulted them with an occasional table.
Yay!
As you did. So you're on 8, I believe. Is that right? For Guariel?
No. Amberhide's on 8. I'm on 7.
Oh. Amberhide's on 8. Guariel is on 7.
Yeah, Guariel is currently the suck.
Oh. Yeah, he's just he's letting everyone else, you know, get out the lay of the land for him. Right, so I believe that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 players plus the captain plus the bandits. So the other, hold on, so there was 2 in the door, which one 6 was coming up. So the 3 that are stuck behind the table are trying to get the table out of their way. So there's only one of the bandits up top to go first. They are going to go at... They're going to launch themselves at Tarina. She's the main target here, so... they will make a roll... What's Tarina's stat? She's also a bandit. Wow, okay. So it's hot bandit on bandit action, except they're pirates. Woo.
It's hot bandit on pirate action.
Okay, so that's...
How do you get stuff in this game? I've forgotten.
Right. So...
Don't worry.
Well, it involves D20 rolls.
Uh-huh.
And what you're trying to get better than is your opponent's armor class.
Uh-huh.
Now, taking in this case the example... So the armor class for a bandit is 12. They're wearing leather armor and they have plus 1 dex. So it's plus 3 to hit because they've got a scimitar. So roll a d20 for them and add their 3. That gives them a total of 12. And the armor class is 12. They equal it, so they bounce. So the pirate who is trying to attack Tarina sort of fails. She manages to jinx out of the way of it, which reminds me I didn't actually roll for her. Well, let's say she's slightly surprised or something. Oh, well, she got a fucking 4 there, so she's... Okay. Yeah, she's after Guariel, so you know what. Yeah.
What do you add to it?
Her to your to-hit roll. It depends on what weapon you're using, and it depends on what your... and what your stats are. So...
For you... Your blowpipe, you're probably adding your dex bonus and your proficiency bonus, because I assume you're proficient with a blowpipe.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So you add your proficiency bonus, which at this level, I want to say...
+2.
Two, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you add your dex bonus as well.
Okay, so I've got a +4 for my dex and a +2 for the proficiency.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So you'd have a +6 on your roll, but it's not your turn yet. It is Miri's turn. Miri, there is a pirate who has just tried to hit Tarina and missed. There is the one-eyed captain man standing there going, shaky fist. What would you like to do?
Well, someone's just tried to hurt someone, which is a problem. So I'm sort of picturing Miri having just sort of stumbled out of this bedroom, like dining room, looking around, seeing this, and she's going to Sacred Flame on him.
Right.
Seems legit.
Okay.
So this is evocation cantrips, so I just need to roll all the spell.
Yep.
But that is only 11 for the attack, so I'm assuming it doesn't work.
Right, well, that depends, because this is a contested roll, so they make a dex saving. Who were you... Were you aiming that at the pirate who attacked Serena, or at the captain?
The one who attacked.
So that would be the bandit. Okay, so he's got dex +1, so he's going to roll a d20, add 1 to it, and he has to beat 11.
Yeah.
Hang on.
So we have to...
One sec. Sacred Flame, because no, he has to beat your saving throw, Miri. He has to beat your saving throw. So what's your spell casting
I don't actually have. I don't actually have to roll for that.
Oh yeah, you don't have to roll for. Yeah, no, you're sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So he's got to beat 13.
Okay. He got 19. So he did actually manage to dodge the flame-like radiance that you brought down from the ceiling. He looked quite surprised that you just did that. He did not reckon on having a divine caster launch at him. Right, so next up it's Salik and Ladle. You're both technically going at the same time. Please feel free to decide amongst yourself who you'd like to go first.
You can go first.
Okay. I'm going to... can I sneak attack from behind my sofa?
Let me just double check on the exact rules for sneak attack. 5e.
I think if she's hidden, or if she has advantage some other way on them.
Yes. Once per turn, you can do this. If you can, must have must be a finesse or a ranged weapon. Yeah.
It's ranged.
Yep. Okay, in that case, make your roll. It's on advantage, so you get two d20s and you choose the best result.
Yeah, and because it's a sneak attack, if I hit, I
get,
get
an extra d6 of damage. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So 2d20s. Come on, d20s. We can do this. And I'm adding 6.
Yes.
Ooh. I rolled a 1 and an 18.
Okay, so yeah, you got a 24. So
but you could re-roll the 1 anyway and get a 20.
Yeah, if you wanted to.
Do I have to go with it, though, if I re-roll it?
Ah, right, okay.
So
then no.
I'll keep the 18. Well,
yeah, but if you've already got the 18, I think you'd only be re-rolling the 1 dice that went 1. I'm not sure how it works with advantage, actually.
Let's not worry about it. She rolled an 18.
Let's not worry about it.
I rolled an 18.
Okay, so yeah, roll your damage, which is, what's the normal damage for?
It just says 5 piercing. It doesn't have a D next to it. It just says 5 piercing.
Hang on. It's all right. The weapons. Blowgun is 1 piercing damage.
Yes, well, in this case, D6 +1.
Yeah, D6. No, it'd be D6.
Why does it say 5 piercing then?
I know why. Because you also add your dexterity bonus to the damage. It's a finesse weapon.
Oh, okay. So it's 5.
Yeah, it is. It's 5 plus D6.
Oh, right. Plus the poison?
Plus the poison, which is a D4.
Right, so it's 5 plus D6 plus D4. Poison damage.
But the poison damage, they have to do Constitution saving throw 10.
Constitution saving throw difficulty 10.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I meant, yeah.
Okay.
So that's for the plus four damage for their poison.
Okay. Okay, so they got a 13 on their constitution, so they've saved that.
Yeah.
But they still take 5 plus d6.
Plus d6. So 9.
9, so they take 9 damage. He is not looking at him, and he just... He immediately goes pale, and he's just... He looks very unwell.
And because it's a blowgun...
entire hip pull in one go.
Not quite, but close.
The blowgun, if I deal damage with it, on my next attack with it, on my next attack, I get advantage.
Okay, fair enough.
If you hit a creature with a blowgun and deal damage to it, you have advantage on your next attack roll against that creature before the end of your next turn.
Which means you will also be able to do the sneak attack thing again. Even though you're technically not hidden because they standing. Now know. If he's still standing. But we'll see what happens because Salik is going now.
Okay. How far away is the sofa from the guys who've come up the stairs?
Right, let's see. So it is 5 feet per square. So it was...
about 20 to 25 feet.
20 feet, I'd say.
Right, okay. In which case, I'm going to run in and wave a battle axe at the nearest one.
Okay, the nearest one would be the guy that's just taken a poison blow dart. So do you want to try and take him out?
Sure, why not? He's the closest.
Okay. Make your roll.
So that is like this D20. Let's see. That is so 16.
Okay. Yeah, you hit.
Okay. And then battle axe is. 1d8 plus 2,
right? Yeah, unless you're wielding it double-handed, in which case it's 1d10 plus 2. It's a versatile weapon. You can wield it one-handed or two-handed.
Oh, I'll go double-handed, actually.
Okay, so in that case it's 1d10 plus 2.
1d10, that's a 4, so that's 6.
Okay, yeah, I mean, you didn't need... much more, given he, he's dead. He's dead. You put your axe in him, and he goes from clutching at his thing to go, the lovely massive sucking wound in his chest, and he keels over. Captain Cadaverous He yells in anger and launches himself at you, Salik, because you just killed one of his men. So he goes in at you with his scimitar. So okay. He is going down. He is he's quite fast. He's actually got multiple attacks.
Fuck.
So he is going in with right. That is, I believe, the scimitar is a finesse weapon. It is. So he will. So he will be using his dex for that. So that is... What is your armor class?
My armor class?
Yes. So
14.
Unfortunately, he got more than 14. So he manages to hit you with his scimitar on the first attack. And that is 1d6 plus 3 damage. That's 5 points of damage.
Okay.
And then on the second attack, he misses on the second attack, though. So he manages to slash at you and actually connects on the first one. But he doesn't quite judge how you'll reel back. So he sort of goes wide on the second one. Amberhide, you're up.
Captain Dude, I guess, is the best target on account of the other guy having keeled over.
Yep. And get off the table.
Always helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I have quarterstaff. I would like to apply it to the dead-eyed gentleman.
Okay. take a swing.
15.
Ooh, it just sort of manages to hit one of the studs, metal studs on his leather armor, and just sort of pangs off.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's anything else I can hit this turn.
I think you only get the one attack. Right, so that means it is now Gwariel.
Gwariel,
it's your turn.
Having both a shield and a sword, will rush up to this chap, put himself in flanking position with with Amberhide, and then stab the fuck.
Okay.
And I believe flanking gets me advantage.
Well, yeah, and that is also, he's now 3-on-1. So
good job I took the advantage.
Yeah.
I score a mighty 23.
Yep, that hits.
Okie dokie then. I'm using the longsword one-handed, so I don't do as much damage. Ah, oh, fuck. I only do 3 points of damage, however.
Okay. Okay. You might sort of catch him slightly. He is... he's looking around, looking very unhappy.
You
that he is are outnumbered outmatched, such.
Says the 4-foot high fairy.
Yeah, but 4-foot high fairy built like a fucking tank.
Yeah, there is that.
Yeah. Also at this point, Tarita takes advantage of the fact that two of the people attacking him are short as fuck because she shoots a crossbow at him. Unfortunately, her aim is for shit and she just buries the bolt in the wall. But it's the thought that counts. So we are back to the top. The other... So the other four bandits, the other four pirates make it to the top of the stairs. They're just sort of looking around and see that their captain is rather outmanned. So one of them will square up to Salik. One of them will square up to Amberhide. The other two, one's going to head over at Tarina and the other one is going to head over towards Miri.
Hmm.
Right, so Bandit on Salik will take a slash at, but not anything dirty. What was your armor class, Salik?
14.
He misses, thankfully. The one on Amberhide. Hold on. Also, I'm not even going to, because he got a 7. There is no way your armor class is that low.
It's 15, in fact.
Is Tarina within 5 foot of me?
Let me have a look at the thing, because you're sort of about... I think she'd be about 10 foot at this point.
Damn. Okay.
Yeah. So the one guy will go in at her and also misses. And last one just about gets in range to get at Miri. Miri, what's your armor class?
18.
Oh, yeah, no, this guy, he completely fluffs. He just faintly so like his scimitar lightly pings against your scale mail. He's like, huh? He's a bit surprised you're wearing scale mail in a bar fight. So that's just being prepared. Miri, it's your turn.
Getting my shield out.
There's a guy in front of you with a scimitar who's just sort of teeth slightly scratched your scale mail. The bastard.
Okay. In this situation, with someone directly in front of her, she's probably just going to pull out her mace and attempt to hit him. Which is not her best move, but panic.
Reasonable response. Okay.
That is a 17 to hit.
You hit him. So that's a mace. So that is... Mace. 1d6 plus strength.
Yeah, just 1d6.
Okay, yep, no problem.
That is 4 bludgeoning damage.
So that is 4... he looks a bit wobbly at that. Let me just jump.
Miri probably looks just a shock.
okay. Salik and Ladle, again, Ladle going first, or?
Yeah, cool.
Okay, Ladle, so the guy you blow-tarted, he is down.
He deceased, so I don't get advantage.
No, everyone else is involved in combat at the moment, so you don't actually have anyone coming at you, so you've basically got your pick of who you want to take your shot at.
Okay, I don't. You only use your special once, don't you? Like your special action, a sneak attack.
I think you can only use it in situations when you would get advantage on the dice. So since you're not hidden at this point, or you're not like flanking anyone, or you're not shooting at a prone target, then.
But at least one of my allies is within 5 feet of the target.
Oh right, no, yeah, that's fair. Actually, yeah. So you actually could. Yeah, so you don't get an advantage roll, but you would get the bonus damage.
Yeah, you could go for the one on Mary easily.
Yeah, I mean, you get to any of them, to be honest, because they're all fighting someone.
Yeah, so, I get extra d6 damage.
Yeah, you get the extra damage. You'll only get the 1d20 for the attack roll.
Yeah.
Okay. Who do you want to shoot?
Who has done the most damage? Like, did someone just hit someone quite badly?
The bandit captain did do some damage to Salik. No one else seems to have been hit yet.
Okay, the one that's attacking Salik then.
So that's the bandit captain.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Captain Cadaverous Yar.
Okay, real good.
Okay.
D20 plus.
Mm-hmm.
Six, yeah. Oh, rolled a 19. Oh, I'm going to keep this dice.
Oh, yeah, okay, so that's a total of 25. So, yeah, you hit him. He needs to make a constitution check for the poison damage, doesn't he?
Yes.
What was that against?
10.
He failed that. So he takes the poison damage and the 5 and the X. So it's a D4 poison damage and D6 and 5.
Yeah.
You okay? Roll for the D6 and the D4, please.
D6 and the D4?
Well, the D4 poison damage.
Oh, the D4 poison damage.
And the extra D6 because he's within 5 feet of one of your...
Oh, okay. It should have been impressive, but it wasn't because I got 2 ones. So I've done 5, 6, 7 points of damage.
7. It's still something.
Piercing, if that matters.
Not in this particular case. He's not got any things he's strong against or weak against. But yeah. Yeah, so you managed... Yeah, you managed to... You catch him... It's in the cheek. You were aiming for his dead eye, but you didn't quite get it. But he's still... And you see the little sort of spreading black veins from the poison. He pulls out the needle and says, right, Salik. Cadaverous just took a needle to the face. He's not happy.
Excellent.
If you attack him, you get advantage because I'm flanking with you.
Yep.
Okay, I will do that then. All right. So that is... 15.
Okay. Just pings off his armor again, I'm afraid.
Okay.
Okay, so it's now his turn. At least probably because you haven't actually managed to fully hit him yet, but also probably because he's slightly concerned about this very heavily armoured short stack that's just attacking him on the side. Cadaverous will actually pivot and sort of turn his focus onto you, Guariel. Mm-hmm. So he's going to go at you with his 2 scimitar attacks. First one, he only gets a 7, so that's not going to hit.
Off the shield.
And 7 on the second one again. Yeah, he just sort of goes clang clang off your shield as he's trying to. You can think he's not used to fighting people in heavy armor with shields. He's more used to fighting other sort of like guys wearing at most leather.
Right.
He's probably really not used to fighting people in heavy armor with shields who come up to his ankle.
Yeah, that's even more so. It's fucking. You're very tall for a fairy.
I am a giant among fairy folk.
You are at the very bounds of short as a size category in D&D.
Yep.
Very, very close.
I believe Amber Hyde's up next.
Amberhide's turn. Yes, Amberhide, you've got a pirate at you. He completely failed to hit you.
Excellent.
So do you want to try and hit him back?
Yes, with all due alacrity.
I was going to say with all due respect, and was like, well, let's take a look.
There isn't much due in that regard. 22.
Okay, yeah, that hit. Make me a damage roll.
10.
Okay. Fuck.
Wow.
Which I need to be clear is more than my own maximum hit points.
Fucking hell, yeah. So he looks very unwell. He's wobbling on his feet. There's blood dribbling out of his ear and his nose at this point. Gwariel, you've got a captain bearing down on you.
Can I get to a position where Tarina is 5 foot away from me, or within 5 foot of me, but I'm still flanking this captain with any of my allies?
It's a bit tricky, because Tarina was over by the table, which is about 10 away from the sort of point where you'd have met.
Fuck it. I'll just stab this captain then. I assume I'm still flanking him, so...
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and take the 17 on the dice with a total of 22.
Okay.
And hope I roll rather better for the damage than I did last time.
No, fingers crossed.
10 points of damage.
Okay. So a nasty slash on him there. He is not having a good time here.
You are outmatched and in dire danger of death. You should probably beg for your life.
I beg to no man.
Very well.
That's all right, because he's a fairy.
Okay, Serena manages to hit the bandit who's on her with her blade, and she does him six slashes. And she does him that. She scores a nice wound on him. We're back to the top with the bandits. So the one on Miri, who is just like not just, yeah, he's a bit confused. That's a 21 in total. He actually manages to hit you there.
Rude.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, so again, that is the Centaur D6 plus 1 damage. You take 2 points of damage there.
Ow!
He seems slightly buoyed by the fact that he'd actually managed to wound you there. Okay, the one on Amberhide, who looks really fucked. Yeah, unsurprisingly, he rolls a 1 and completely just you think he might be seeing double, and he went for the other Amberhide that isn't actually there. the one fighting Tarina doesn't do much better. He managed a 6 there. And there is the one on Salik, and he gets an 11, but I don't think that's enough to hit you.
No.
Okay. Right. So, Miri, this guy's actually managed to wound you. The prick.
Yeah, I'm going to keep trying to mace him.
Okay.
It worked last time. I may as well see if it works again.
Yeah, no. True.
That's an 11, so probably not.
No, not quite. You don't quite manage to connect. You're a little shaken by the actually getting hurt part. So I didn't quite manage to connect on that one. Ladle?
Yeah.
You got one more poison dart.
I have one more poison dart, yes. So we're actually supposed to be defending this Tarina lady, and she's currently got one on her at the moment, isn't she?
Yeah.
She looks like she's managing, though.
Oh, yeah, she's managing just fine. This guy hasn't managed to hit her yet, and she's got him not looking good.
Okay, cool. In which case, I'll go for the captain again, because I will get advantage on that, because I've damaged it with my blue gun in the previous round.
Mm-hmm, yep.
So 2d20, take the highest. And because I've got advantage and he's within 5 feet of someone, I get my sneak attack again as well, yeah?
Yes, you do. Yep, if you hit him.
So I rolled a 13 and a 19 to hit.
Yep, yep, you hit him. Okay, and so Jesus, you get your 5 and your d6
six.
And your d4. Oh, I need to do the d6 and I need to do the constitution roll for him as well, don't I?
Yeah, so constitution check.
Unfortunately, he does pass the constitution check, so you don't get the poison damage.
No, but I do get 2d6 plus 5. Yeah.
I thought it was just the 1d6.
Because I've sneak attacked.
Okay, well, hold on, let me just double check.
1d6 plus 5 for the
one gun. Yeah, that's all you're getting, 1d6 plus 5.
Yeah, because the blowgun only does 1 damage, but you get your dex bonus, so that makes it 5 points of damage. So it would be a flat 5 without the sneak attack, but you get the sneak attack, so that gives you an extra d6 of damage.
So it's 1d6 plus 5?
Yes.
1d6 plus 5. Gotcha.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 10.
Oh, nice. Okay. You get him again. This time you get him in the dead eye.
Nice. So,
you, damn you!
Like, people.
Okay, that's not creepy at all. Salik, you've got a pirate ineffectually slapping at you and the bandit captain who's getting increasingly turned into Pinhead.
I think I will go for the bandit that's flailing.
Okay.
That would be a 16.
Okay, yeah, you hit. So.
And that was 1d10.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a 6.
Okay, yeah. So you get sort of get him in the shoulder and he's like, ugh. He is not looking good there. Yeah, the captain is desperately trying to break down Guariel's defenses there. That was a 12, so that doesn't get through.
Nope.
That's a 10, so that definitely doesn't get through. He's starting to look a bit frantic. Amberhide, it's your turn. You've got a guy who's not looking good at all in front of you.
Good. I wish to accelerate this process.
Okay.
16?
Yep, that hits.
11.
His skull makes a weird crunchy sound as it caves in. Something that you're pretty sure my brain matter leaks out of his nose and he falls down dead.
I wipe off the staff onto his robe.
Yep. Okay. Wariel.
I look up into the captain's one living, one dead eye and very much attempt to stab him through the heart. I have actually just found out that flanking is a 3 edition, not a 5 edition thing, so I won't be doing this one with advantage.
Okay.
Doesn't matter, I don't think, because I still rolled a 19.
yeah, that'll hit him.
The damage, however, is only a 5.
No, you're still chipping away at him. He's not looking good here.
I just sort of give him a contemptuous slice up one cheek. You're losing, Captain.
Okay. And Tarina takes out the guy in front of her with a slash across the chest, but also gets him in the throat as well. So he goes down. There's now only 2 pirates left, the one on Miri and the one on Salik. The one on Miri... okay, he's managed to get a total of 20 there. He again actually manages to connect with you, and he does you 4 points of damage, Miri.
Oh, okay.
He seems to have got his confidence up now. It's like he's found his rhythm against you. Salik, the guy on you, also manages to get a total of 20.
That's just rude.
And then he proceeds to do 9 points of damage.
Oh.
Yeah, just a bit.
Yeah.
That's more than I have hit points.
Oh, shit. Salik has fallen over.
You have, yeah, okay, so you are now on the ground, and on your turn you will need to start making, I think they're constitution rolls?
It's just a straight D10, D20 roll. 11 or more is a pass, 10 or below is a miss.
Yeah. You don't want to fail three of those.
No. But you do want to crit, because if you crit, you're up on one hit point.
Hooray!
Don't roll a one either.
Miri, this guy is actually hurting you.
Yeah, I don't like that. No. And also, this guy I've just met has fallen over, and that's also bad.
Yeah, the owl fell over. That's not nice.
Hang on. I'm 50-50 on do I do something really stupid or not.
Is it funny and or cool?
Cool, yeah.
Probably neither.
Is it characterful?
Yeah, probably. Okay, so he's going to get an attack of opportunity as she basically flings herself across the room to try and get to Salik.
Okay. Attack opportunity. He will make his roll for that. He gets a 15. Yes, he gets a 15.
Okay. In which case, she's all right. So I'm a class of 15.
Yep.
Yeah.
Clangs off the back of your scale mail.
Can she get to Salik?
Yeah, I would say so. Given the size of the room, you've got a movement of what's your movement?
30.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, you could get to Salik, no problem.
And she's got a healer's kit.
Okay.
So, as an action, she can expend one use of the kit to stabilize a creature that has 0 hit points.
Okay, Salik, you are now stabilized. You do not have to make the rolls, the death rolls. You are
fine. Death rolls, okay.
Yeah, you're unconscious, but you don't have to make the rolls to see if you expire. You're not going to expire.
Hooray!
Hooray! Ladle, it's your turn.
Cool. Who's left standing?
So the bandit captain is still up. He's fighting with Guariel. One pirate has managed to put down Salik and is now trying to figure out his next move. One's just taken a slash at Miri as she darted past him but missed. Amberhide and Tarina are currently unengaged. So
the captain's still standing.
Tarina's absolutely fine. She's just killed the guy in front of her.
No, the pirate captain, is he still standing?
Oh, the pirate captain, yeah, he's still standing. He's still going. Oh, wow. God, no. He's got quite a few hit points. He's got a tanky fellow.
I'll attack him with advantage again, then.
Seems
legit. Yeah,
because but it's not a poison dart this time.
No poison this time, but you can still get because you're doing advantage attack, you still get the the D6. So,
As long as I damage him.
Yeah.
As long as I damage him, I get an advantage on my next go on the same target.
Mm. Yeah. And you did, so.
Oh, that's not as good. That's a 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 to hit.
No, that pings off his armor. Well, it's leather, so it probably sort of like gets in slightly, but doesn't actually penetrate and hit him.
Yeah, I need to hit a squishy bit.
Yeah, or get all the way through the leather. Yeah. Right. So, Salik, you have stabilized. The bandit captain is still trying to get at Guariel. Not on a fucking 7, he's not.
Nope.
Not on a 9 either. He's just not doing a good job fighting you. Amberhide, you killed the guy in front of you. There is an unattended pirate looming over the now unconscious Salik, who's got Miri by them, stabilizing them. There's also another pirate that was fighting Miri, but Miri's run off to deal with Salik, so he's just sort of standing at a loose end. And the bandit captain is still fighting Guariel.
By all accounts, Guariel seems to have this under control, so I'm going to engage the unengaged one.
Which one?
The one who is not near Miri, because Miri has a mace.
Okay, yeah, so Well, so Miri is by the one that is that that is also over Salik, and the other one's over the other side?
The one who's over the other side.
Okay, the one that was fighting Miri originally. Okay, yeah. You can get over to him and make the attack.
16.
Yeah, that hits. Do damage roll.
8.
Yeah, he was not expecting you to run away out to him, nor was he expecting you to manage to make a horizontal swing strong enough that it completely breaks his fucking neck on contact. He goes down in a heap. He's dead.
Next target.
Well, next turn. Guariel, the captain is, looking increasingly lonely and increasingly frantic as he attacks you.
I'm going to continue trying to just basically stab this fuck.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I hit him again. 22 again.
Okay.
For a total of 5 again. God damn it.
You're whittling him down. You're whittling him down.
Are you starting to feel the cold, icy hand of death?
He doesn't respond with anything coherent. He just sort of goes at you, mostly because he's just so bloody frustrated he can't hit you.
And I should point out, he probably is starting to feel cold because everyone around me always feels cold.
That too, but he hasn't quite cottoned onto that bit yet. Tarina runs up on the one that had put down Salik. She hits him and takes him out. He goes down. That it's literally just the captain up here. All the four pirates who came up with him are dead now. I think yes, they're all dead now. So, yeah, back to the top. Miri, Salik is stabilized. What do you want to do?
Well, I've got some magic. I may as well use it. I guess. This fight is almost over. Yeah, you know what? I'm just going to use it. Cool. So, Miri is still hanging out with Salik and will basically just cast Cure Wounds on him.
Okay. Make the roll. It is a roll, isn't it?
How many? Just roll to see how many return.
To roll, how many do you get back? Yeah. Then you need to make a roll to do it.
Yeah, I don't think the target tries to dodge. Presumably,
no. So, well, no, not really. Yeah. I mean, they're unconscious. They can't.
Well, in this case, they are. Yeah. So that's 12.
Salik, you're up on 12 hit points.
Woo!
Okay. Ladle, do you want to dart the captain again?
Yeah.
He's the only one left, son. Yeah, yeah.
And 11. Oh, anyway, 15 to hit.
Oh, just pings off him that time. Hit one of the metal studs. He ricochets off.
Wow.
Salik, you're back up on your feet. It seems everyone, all the pirates are dead except for the captain.
Okay.
What do you want to do?
I might as well have another swing.
Okay.
That is a 18.
You hit him.
19. That'd be 8 points of damage.
Okay, right. He's looking quite unwell. He is still trying to get Guariel. Okay, that was a... Okay, so that's actually a 24.
That will hit. That's fair.
So he will do... 1d6 plus 3. He will do 6 damage.
Okay. Still up.
And then, the next one he gets like a 7. So, he doesn't hit you on that second attack.
No.
So he actually manages to catch you?
Yeah. I take it on the pauldron. A little bit of blood comes out from underneath. I just sort of give him a nod.
He grins. He almost thinks he's got something going here. And hide.
So there's one near Miri.
The Tarina killed the other one. There is just the captain.
Oh, wow. That makes this choice easy then, doesn't it? Is assuming there's room left around here?
I think you can get around. Yeah, I think you can get around.
Okay. In that case, attempted wackadoodle.
Okay.
Quarterstaff says 17.
Yep, you hit him.
The damage says 7.
Okay. Wariel?
Right. I'm definitely going to try and fucking kill this guy, finally.
I was shocked at how many hit points this guy has.
No, I'm probably going to miss. I get a 7, so I miss it this time around.
Yeah, afraid you do. Tarina will also join in the attack. And she gets a fucking crit.
Ooh.
She rolled a natch 20, which means she does 2d6 plus 1 damage.
Nice.
So she, she catches him in the side, under, just coming up in under the rib cage. Sorry, Cadaverous. I found some new friends. I like these ones. You can tell Sesprin when you see him in the hells. Rhonda sends her regards. She slashes the blade back out, and he collapses in a bloody pile on the floor. Right. Well, that was eventful. Thank you very much for your help. And as I am a woman of my word, contrary to what Cadaverous would claim, here is what I know. Several blocks northwest from here is a public bathhouse with a walled garden and frolicking nymphs carved into its front gate. Followers of the Dead Three have been seen coming and going from that bathhouse, and I'm told there's a secret door inside that leads to a dungeon, and that's where the killers are hiding. Hmm. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have a ship to take.
Be aware, he's got 2 more people guarding the door downstairs.
Oh, don't worry. I think they'll be dealt with. Thank you. She bows politely, takes Davros' hat from his corpse, pops it on her own head, and saunters down the stairs. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is where we will leave things for tonight. And I will just say, congratulations, you are all now level 2.
Woo!
To level up before next time. But that will be for next time. In the meantime, we hope you have enjoyed tonight's episode. If you have, please do like, subscribe, leave us reviews on whatever avenue you have watched, you have listened to this show on. Tell all your friends about us. Like us on Facebook. Give us likes on Blue Sky. Just spread the love. Mm-hmm. Share the links. Circulate the tapes, as they say on Mystery Science Theater 3000. And thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.